That was a beautiful song. Our scripture is from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. It has been attributed to Solomon. It's a part of the wisdom literature of the scripture. It's one of my favorite parts of the scripture. Let us listen for the word of God as it comes to us today. For everything, there's a season. And a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what has been planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to keep silence and a time to talk, a time for love and a time for hate, a time for war and a time for peace. And this is the word of God to us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Seasons of life. Well, ordinarily we think about the seasons that Polly was talking about. Talk about summer, fall, winter, and spring. Growing up, the only seasons that really were important to me were football season, basketball season, and baseball. And of course, now there's hockey season, there's soccer season, and there's all kinds of seasons. But as we grow older, we learn that there's a multitude of seasons in life. Now, there are three different categories that these seasons of life kind of fall under. One is just simply the age category. As we take our journey through life, we go from being a toddler on up through a child and teenager, young adult, middle adult, and then into our elderly years. And we take that journey. We go through different stages in life. And each of those are a kind of season that's age-related. But then there are those seasons that we go through that have to do with our life situations. There's a situation that may occur, and we find ourselves in a particular season. I'm pastor of congregational care, and most of the care that I give is to people who are in particular kinds of life situations. And it's very interesting, the variety of those life situations. Many times I may be in a home of parents that just brought home their firstborn child, and they're in that season of, thank you, Lord, help me, Lord. It's exciting to kind of see a young couple in that season of life where they bring, new life into their family and everything changes just like that. I've also gone into homes in which things are changing and, well, we give it the name the empty nesters. The children have all gone and, you know, they prayed and they prayed and they prayed and finally the children grew up and they left. But that's a different season with a lot of different feelings attached to it, a lot of different challenges attached to it. And that's a season of life that people try to negotiate. There's all kinds of seasons of life. Sometimes in men's ministry, I have been particularly involved in the seasons of a man's life that has to do with crisis. A man is facing a crisis. It may have to do with a layoff, or it may have to do with a significant relationship. Or it may have to do with, well, almost anything, but there are those times when you face a particular challenge in life that's difficult. There are those times of suffering, which is in itself a season of life. We live long enough, we'll all go through a season called grief. There are all kinds of seasons that we could simply attribute to the category of life situations. And then there's the third category, and that simply has to do with interests. You know, as we go through life, there are times when we have various interests. And so those are particular seasons in our life. There's all kinds of seasons in our life. I'd like for you to be thinking about just for a moment, and as we go through this message, just want you to begin thinking in the back of your mind, you know, if I were to stand up right now and say what season of life I'm in, what season of life would that be for you right now? Think a little bit about, well, what is that season of life that I'm in right now? Now, wisdom literature, I love wisdom literature, predominantly as Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Job, but it's also found in other parts of the scripture. There are many different ways to talk about wisdom, but in Ecclesiastes, we think of wisdom in terms of making the best use of the time we have called now. Making the best use of time called now. Or making the best use of the season that we're in now. Wisdom is a very slippery thing. It's different from knowledge. Knowledge is when you know something. But you see, wisdom involves discernment. It's not just knowing something, but it's discerning, you know, the right thing to do at the right time. And it never ceases to amaze me, you know, in the scripture that I just shared with you, it said, you know, there's a time to keep silence and there's a time to speak. And, you know, you just don't have an automatic answer to that. You have to kind of discern. And, you know, I'm still working on that. I'll be in a small group and I'll be sitting there and I'll be thinking, should I say this or not say this? Well, I'm a preacher, so I go ahead and say it. And then I get home and I realize I should have kept my mouth shut. I should have really listened. I missed it. I discerned it wrong. But you can turn it around. I'd be there times when I'd be sitting there and I'll be, I'm going to get it right, going to get it right. See, I've already made up my mind. I'm just going to listen. I'm not going to say anything. So anyway, I'm going to say anything? Nope, not going to say anything. I go home and say, man, I should have said something. I mean, it is slippery. You don't always know the timing. Timing is so very important. I'll give you a simple example of that. When I was growing up, I was told that I had one of the best baseball swings there was. Now, how come I didn't become a good baseball player? Because of my timing. When I swung my bat, it was at the wrong time when the ball came over the plate. You know, wisdom has to do with timing, and that has to do with discernment. But wisdom here in Ecclesiastes is about simply saying, you know, what's the best use of the time we have called now? Several years ago, I came up with a wisdom prayer to go along with the book of Ecclesiastes, in particular this subject that has to do with seasons. And the prayer goes something like this. Dear Lord, these are the best of all possible times. If I but knew what to do with the time called now. But since I don't, I trust in you with all my heart, and I lean not on my own understanding, but I acknowledge you in all my ways, and I believe that you will direct my paths. I came up with that prayer. It's a pretty good prayer. It's my wisdom prayer. And over the years, one of the lessons that I have learned, and that's the purpose of this particular series, is sharing some of the most important lessons I've learned in life. And one of those most important lessons I've learned in life is that in whatever your season is right now, there are three things that are important in every season. And these three things will help us to make the most of the time called now and the season that we're in. And here are the three things. Every season of life has a beauty to behold. Every season of life has a truth to know. And every season of life, there is a love to share. Let me stop just a little bit and talk about that. You know, when we begin to look for that which is good, for that which is beautiful, we will see it. And whether it is a season that's very difficult for you right now or a season that's very pleasant, if you will indeed look for that which is beautiful, look for that which is good. Aristotle said the beautiful is the good and the good is the beautiful. But if you'll begin to look for it, you know, you can see it. And there's something about seeing something good or seeing something beautiful that will help you make the best use of the time and the season that you're in. It's especially helpful when you're going through a troubling time. When you're thinking to yourself, I don't know if there's anything good about this season at all. And listen, I'm not saying there's anything intrinsically good about just simply suffering or seeing others suffer. No, that's an experience that we go through. We didn't choose, but it's a life situation. It's presented itself with us. But guess what? I've seen some of the most beautiful things during those seasons. My heart has been strangely warmed of where I've seen those things and how I've seen those things. Look for the beautiful, look for the good, and you'll see it. Now, we're also to think about what is the truth that I need to know for this particular season. You know, whatever season you're in, there's a way that God wants to help you to grow. Ask yourself, you know, ask God, how is it that you want me to grow in my life right now in this particular season? What are the things you want me to learn? How do you want me to grow? I was at a breakfast. I met at Courtney's a long time ago, a men's breakfast on a particular Monday. A man dropped in our Monday morning Bible study. He hadn't been there before. He just came because he had heard about it. And he came in and he said, I've lost just about everything and I'm desperate. He shared his story and all the men at the table thought to themselves, you know, what are we going to do with him? This is, all of a sudden, this fella is in an entirely different season. And it just so happened that we're reading a book by Patrick Morley called The Seven Seasons of a Man's Life. And one of the seasons was crisis. And in that particular season, Patrick Morley talked about what I'm talking about now. Ask the Lord, what is it that you want me to learn? How is it that you want me to grow through this? And so, as timing would have it, he just simply came into our study while we were going through that particular season, and he began to apply that to his life. And you know what? He had time on his hands. No job. He was without a family at the time. He was looking for a place to live. He had plenty of time. You ever thought to yourself, if I have time, I will read the Bible. If I have time, I'll reflect, you know. Well, that's about all he had was time. But he used it wisely. He began to learn that he had an anger problem and he needed to bring it under control because it had damaged the relationships in his life. He got help for that. He got counseling and he learned more about why is it that I get angry and handle it in that way. Anger in itself is not good or bad, it's what we do with it. You know, every emotion we have has to do with a need that we have. But we go about meeting that need in different ways. Some are good and some are harmful. So he learned about how he could identify this need in his life, but yet respond to it better and handle his emotions. And he grew spiritually. It was amazing. Fast forward several years later, a group of men and myself were down in Orlando, Florida at a little men's conference down there, training leaders in men's ministry. We were getting ready to have our concluding worship service, and right near the beginning was a time of witness and sharing. And Patrick Morley said, you know, in this service today, perhaps some of you have something you'd like to share with the rest of us about how God's worked in your life for which you're extremely grateful. This particular person stood up and said, if someone would have told me several years ago that I would ever be here today, I wouldn't have understood that. But during one of the hardest times in my life, I grew the most and I learned the most about myself and about God. And he had become a leader in our church. And he said, and guess whose book we were studying at the time? And there was Patrick Morley leading the worship service. You know, it wasn't in vain, was it? And then every season there is a love to share. As I grow older, I'm learning more and more and more and more about how to handle the changes in life, because as we grow older, we go through various losses. People we love die and people move away and things change, and we say, well, you know, who do I love? I'm a lonely person. I've learned so much from elderly people because, you know, as they've gone through life, they've had to let go of several significant relationships. But my aunt Jin Jin, let me tell you something. She just loves the people she's with. She's got friends all over the place. She's about, 95, Polly, about 95 years old. Went down there to celebrate July 4th with her and went down to this retirement home. And I thought to myself, well, you know, I'm prepared. I know what it's going to be like. It's going to be real nice. I'm going to be there. Went down there. Those people were having a ball, you know. And they literally, I mean, they had a July 4th party. I've never seen the likes of that. Dixieland band came up and they danced. And anyway, but Jin Jin had loved every single person who worked there. She introduced me to this person. They handle food. I love them. This person mops floors, and her name is so-and-so, or his name is so-and-so. I love them. They knew my aunt. You see, as she went through life, she learned how just simply to love the people who came across her path. And she lost her husband. She lost a lot of significant relationships, including my own mother. But she never lost the capacity to love. Whatever season of life we're in, we have a love to share. We have a love to share. And when we make these connections of seeing the beauty of learning the lessons of growing and sharing the love, it's a wonderful thing. Because what that means is that we have fully embraced the present. We are engaged in life. And Ecclesiastes says, that's the best you can do. Because you can't go back to another season that you had, but you have no more. And tomorrow is not necessarily given to us. And so often we miss the present in the present. That's so true, isn't it? It's so true. And so more and more and more, I'm thinking that this is a very important lesson for me to share with others, because I'm still learning it myself. Every season has a beauty to behold, a truth to know, and a love to share. Now, Ecclesiastes, if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, I want to prepare you. He's somewhat a melancholy fella. He has a way of looking at life that sometimes you'll probably say, and that's supposed to be good news? That kind of was depressing, you know. Well, he was just simply observing life and saying, well, from what I've observed, there's nothing new under the sun. From what I'm observed, so he's just basing his wisdom based on what he's observed. But that book is in, that book is in the Bible, because we need part of his perspective, which is being able to see, Ecclesiastes just said, you know, we don't know a whole lot, and we need just to stop pretending we know a whole lot. And, got that. But, so, don't let it get to you if you start getting a little bit down, because that's merely his approach, is simply by looking at life. If all we knew about life was just simply, you know, what we saw, people grow up, they get older, they get sick, and they die. Well, that's about, you know, if that's all we observe, then we'll probably say some of the things that he said, which was basically, this is really encouraging. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth before you get so old. You can't see, hear, smell, or eat. Well, God Almighty, thanks for that good word. So I want to warn you, a little bit of Ecclesiastes is good. A whole lot of Ecclesiastes, you'll probably be calling me up this coming week. But that book is in the Bible because we need to wrestle with some of the questions that he wrestled with, which was basically, what is the meaning of life? And, you know, he said, vanity of vanities, all is vanities, because ultimately, beyond observing life, he couldn't really say anything other than embrace this life and enjoy it, recognize God, but, you know, and just because we're going to die doesn't mean we can't live. And the only time we have to live is now. Now, let me tell you what, that's a powerful message. But it's in the Bible, which also has other books. So we read the Bible, you might want to say, in a very unique way. We listen to different voices in the Bible. They're not all the same. They balance one another. They help us to, they complement one another. And so that book, that particular wisdom book, is also in the Bible that contains the story of Jesus, who lived all the seasons of life that we've been in. He hallowed all of life by his presence. You see, this has to do with more than just simply observation. This has to do with revelation. What do we know because God has revealed it to us? Revelation through Jesus Christ. Here's what we believe. Here's what we know. That Jesus Christ is not only Lord of life, but he's Lord of all the seasons of life. And he will walk with you through everything. And ultimately, the end result is not vanity of vanities, all is vanity. But it's glory hallelujah. Glory hallelujah. Glory hallelujah. Here's a little thing that I want you to take away from this message. Here's the application. Here's the so what. And here's what can help you. Perhaps when you wake up in the morning and you're doing your daily devotions or so forth, you can ask yourself three things. Well, you can pray about three things. Lord, would you open my eyes today to see something good or something beautiful that otherwise I may not see because my eyes are clouded by various experiences? Would you open my eyes perhaps to see something good today? Second thing, Lord, would you teach me something today that I need to know? Or would you help me to grow in a certain way today that I need to grow? Would you do that for me this day? And then the third thing is, Lord, would you show me how you can love the world today through me? And that's how you start your day. Now, at the end of the day, later on, perhaps you're journaling or so forth, and you sit down, you pull that back out, and you go, now look, this isn't going, you don't have to turn this into me, okay? You don't turn it into anybody, this is just yours. And you may not have very much to look at. You may journal, and you say, well, that was that day. you know, there's, but you may, at the end of the day, go, wow, this was a day I fully lived, because God did show me something beautiful and good. And when you're going through a rough season, oh, that'll keep you going. And perhaps if you grew just a little bit in that particular day or learned something, you can feel good about yourself, good about where you're headed. And then the last thing is this. You can look back and you can say, my life made a difference today. Now, did you change the world? Yes, you did. And here's how you changed the world. Every person on the face of the earth is a part of this world. And if you affect one person, if you touch one life, if you love one person, then you've touched the world. I heard it said like this. You may say, well, I'm only one person. What am I to the world? Same headlines tomorrow as we saw today. Nothing changes. Vanity of vanities, always vanity. I'm joining the Ecclesiastes Club. But to one person, to that person that you touched that day, you are their world. Do you hear me? You may think you're only one person to the world, but there may be one person to whom you are the world. You do matter significantly. And so you look back at the end of your day and you go, wow. Now, if you're like me, I'll say, wow, I missed it. And guess what? God gives me another day. Isn't it beautiful? Let me tell you a little something before we have our invitation for prayer. I don't want to waste the rest of my one and only life. It's the only one I got. I want to love my wife, Polly. I want our years together to count. I want to finish well in the ministry. I want to believe that God's saving the best gifts for the last. He has ever yet more good gifts to give me and things for me to do. I want to be able to look death in the eyes and say, you know, yes, it's anxiety producing. But when you know how to fully live, you don't need to be afraid of death. And when you know in whom you believe, that imposter has to leave. That you only have one Lord of your life. And it's not your fear, it's not your anxiety, it's Jesus Christ. He is here right now to walk with you out these doors in the season you're in. You're invited for prayer. Let us stand.